Well, the Adams County Sheriff's Office reports 25-year-old Andrew Olson of Corning was arrested at around 2:30 this morning on a charge of public intoxication. Officials say he was taken into custody after allegedly trying to hide from law enforcement approaching him on foot. The Sheriff's Office said Olson also became loud and belligerent and refused to follow deputies' commands. Pottawatomie County supervisors are starting over on the nagging question of who's responsible for repairing the levees north of Council Bluffs. Levees had about a dozen breaches during summer flooding on the Missouri River. However, since the county doesn't own them and didn't provide maintenance before the flooding, just those who can apply for federal or state funding to fix the problem remains up in the air, that question, that is. Supervisor Scott Belt told the board Tuesday that if the county was told it can't receive help, government agencies are still asking for information. County Engineer John Rasmussen said he continues to gather that information, and if the agencies request it, he can send it. The county continues to explore developing a levee district to deal with those repairs. The Cass County Board of Supervisors on Wednesday approved the appointment of Christy Pellet of Atlantic as clerk for the Pimosa Township, effective immediately. The position of trustee for the township has yet to be filled, however. The board also approved the immediate appointment of Luann Beth Steffens of Griswold to the County Conservation Board. Supervisor Chuck Reakin said Steffens' appointment will help the county in its mandated efforts at gender balancing the various county boards. In other business, the supervisors heard a report from County Veterans Affairs Commissioner Mitch Holmes, who said the number of claims filed for assistance in the second quarter of fiscal year 2011-2012 were down slightly less than 30 from the previous quarter, primarily due to the reduced number of applications for energy assistance, thanks to the warmer weather we've been experiencing. Holmes says there's a positive sign for veterans who might be looking for work. He says his office has been receiving calls from local employers looking to hire veterans, and while he's helped to put some of those vets in contact with the employers, he doesn't know the results of any interviews. And Joel Dirks with the West Central Community Action provided his agency's annual report Wednesday. The organization serves to administer several programs in Cass County as alternatives to general relief, including Head Start, Child Care Resource and Referral, the WIC, or Women, Infants, and Children Program, and Emergency Food and Shelter Programs.
West Central provided a little over $2 million in services in Cass County last year. We worked with 750 households, which represented 1,773 individuals last year. I think just due to the nature of our funding, we work with a lot of single-parent, female-head households and single-person households, and I think a lot of that is attributed to our LIHEAP program, where we work with a lot of folks that are retired and elderly and perhaps widowed.
59% of those households had an income below 100% of the poverty guideline. 32% have a household income between 101% and 150% of the poverty guideline. The annual federal poverty guideline of 100% during the reporting period for a family of four was $22,350. Dirk said 22% of their individual clients in Cass County have no health insurance and 20% are disabled. Last year, the supervisors appropriated $3,000 to WCCA, and when Dirks asked for the same amount from them for the upcoming fiscal year, his request was unanimously approved by the board. The Adair County Board of Supervisors will meet next hour in Greenfield during a special session, and during that session at the courthouse, they'll talk about the budget. Also, the City of Atlantic's Personnel and Finance Committee will hold a meeting this afternoon at 5:15 at City Hall in the City Council Chambers. The PFC committee will discuss affordable housing during that meeting. Several animal shelters have taken in some of the 88 dogs rescued from a property in western Iowa's Sac County. The Des Moines-based Animal Rescue League of Iowa says the dogs have been living in deplorable conditions. League Executive Director Tom Colvin said most of the dogs are Cocker Spaniels. He says it will take a lot of love and patience to help those dogs become normal. Six of the dogs are suspected of being pregnant. Authorities didn't release information on who owned the dogs or where in Sac County they were living. Elsewhere in state news, a three-member panel has given initial approval to a proposal that would broaden the definition of justifiable force for Iowans who believe they face a threat from an attacker and shoot a gun in self-defense. Representative Matt Winschuttle, a Republican from Missouri Valley, says it's about protecting law-abiding Iowans from frivolous lawsuits.
What we're trying to address is Iowans' individual right to protect themselves and their neighbors from any kind of threat or harm without having to face a civil liability.
The three-member House subcommittee that considered the bill held a sort of public hearing the other day that drew critics of the plan. Polk County Attorney John Sarcone suggested the proposed change would give defense attorneys another tool to try to justify the criminal conduct of gang members or those accused of domestic abuse.
We allow people to get off because someone made a comment, looked at somebody the wrong way.
The same justifiable force proposal was introduced in the Iowa legislature last year, but never cleared a committee in the House or Senate. Iowa Secretary of State Matt Schultz plans to unveil a voter identification bill at a State House news conference today. Schultz, a Republican, has scheduled an announcement on the voter ID bill for this morning. The issue was central to his successful 2010 campaign for Secretary of State. Critics of voter ID laws say they unfairly discourage voting by poor, minority, and older voters who are less likely to have government-issued identification. They also argue that voter fraud is rare. Some say the effort is a ploy to discourage voting by groups that tend to support Democratic candidates. Schultz has noted people have to show identification before boarding an airplane or checking into a hotel room. He says voting is important and requires similar precautions. There's a new report that ranks Iowa's K-12 education system as being 31st in the nation. Radio Iowa's Kay Henderson reports.
The report comes from the American Legislative Exchange Council. It gave Iowa an overall grade of C-. Iowa had very low marks in college programs that prepare teachers and in keeping effective teachers in the classroom. Iowa got a D-plus for failing to do enough to get rid of ineffective teachers. Republican Governor Terry Branstad suggests the report should be a wake-up call for state policymakers who are reviewing his education reform plan. Democrats suggest the report from the Republican-leaning group is skewed. They point to other reports indicating, for example, that Iowa high schoolers who took the ACT had an average score that ranked second in the nation. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And the Iowa Department of Education is preparing for a series of public meetings on its request for a waiver of the federal No Child Left Behind education standards. Department Deputy Director Kevin Fangman says the public input is part of the process of completing the waiver request.
We're going to focus on three different areas. One will be on the state's process of adopting college and career ready standards, and that all teachers are ready to teach those to all students so they can learn at high levels. And then also we'll have to share about what our thoughts are about a future assessment system that will measure those standards.
And the second area in the waiver involves the state support of schools.
Right now, under No Child Left Behind, when we look at accountability, it's all based on students hitting a certain target for performance. And so one thing we're going to look at as a state is looking at performance we want to see, but also looking at how can we honor growth and the hard work that teachers are doing with students that are behind, and that maybe make more than a year's growth.
The third area involves the evaluation of educators.
It's just how we support effective instruction and leadership in our schools, and that deals with what we look at as far as educator and principal evaluation, what goes into that, and also having standards in place that we want educators and the leaders in our schools to meet.
The department is also in the midst of enacting a new blueprint to remake the education system in the state. Fangman says there is a connection between the federal waiver and the new state plan.
We made a decision, the group that's working with me in the waiver, that we wanted to align to the blueprint whenever possible, because it really doesn't make sense to send two different things out the gate and cause confusion and not have alignment. So we have tried to align with the blueprint wherever possible.
He says they'll have more detailed information on the three waiver issues available when they begin the public meetings. The first meeting is set for January 31st, and if you'd like to find out more about the process, you can go to the Department of Education's website at www.educateiowa.gov. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the number of people seeking unemployment benefits rose last week. Labor Department says weekly applications increased 21,000 to a seasonally adjusted 377,000, but the increase comes after claims dropped to a four-year low 2 weeks ago. The four-week average, which is less volatile measure, fell, continuing a downward trend. President Obama will be highlighting his energy policy during a trip to Nevada today. The president will announce the sale of oil and gas drilling leases for nearly 38 million acres in the Gulf Coast and is promoting a highway corridor project for vehicles that run on liquefied natural gas. Republicans have been criticizing Obama for recently rejecting a cross-country oil pipeline. KJAN News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Gary Maverick Davis, age 21, of Exira, died last Thursday in Irwin. Funeral services for Gary Davis will be this morning at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Dennis L. Crawley, age 59, of Guthrie Center, died Monday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Dennis Crawley will be held tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center, with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Mary Ann Peterson, age 81, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Mary Ann Peterson will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Jean Templeton Kerr, age 90, of Atlantic and formerly of Elliott, died Tuesday at the Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Jean Kerr will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Nelson Boylan Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak. August Francis Conrad, Jr., age 93, of Iowa Falls and formerly of Audubon, died Monday at the Scenic Manor in Iowa Falls. Funeral services for August Conrad, Jr. will be on Saturday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Angela R. Newman, age 93, of Griswold, died Tuesday at the Griswold Care Center. A memorial service for Angela Newman will be held on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Noble Center United Methodist Church, south of Lyman. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. And Gerald Jerry Gaines, age 76, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Jerry Gaines are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.